And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. You can download the app TuneIn Radio, and then on that app you can select different radio stations, but we encourage you to select 96.9 and leave that on all day and listen to all the awesome shows, in particular The Blank Canvas, which comes on every Wednesday night at 6:30. But if you miss the show, don't worry, you can go to our website, www.nagb.org.bs, and scroll down to the bottom of the page, and in the news section it will have who was on the show that night, the last show, and you can click the link there and you can listen to the show again if you missed part of it, or you just thought it was so great you want to listen to it one more time. So we are now finally getting to Dee Dee, who's been waiting very patiently. We have three of the artists in this, any eight with us in the studio, all three of them women, and Dee Dee is the last, only because I'm going around the table clockwise, and because she was just on the show recently, actually. So welcome back.
Thank you, Amanda.
So I would like to talk to you a little bit about your piece in the show, so which I think is really interesting, and it's called Just Another Version of You. You actually just did a workshop this weekend.
I did, yes.
Based on that. How did that go, actually?
It was wonderful.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think everyone really enjoyed it. It was a small group, but I think everyone responded to the work really positively, and it was very interesting what each person produced as a result of that.
So why don't you try to describe it to the listening audience?
Okay, so it's a 4 feet wide by 6 feet high aluminum sheeting with a very, I guess, delicate figure of a human head and torso, which has then been deconstructed and pulled apart. So essentially it's a two-dimensional piece that's become three-dimensional.
Yeah, you've kind of bent out. Sort of from the, you sort of cut into it and bent the pieces out and sort of twisted them too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a lot of twisting and bending going on. So essentially it's an exploration of human behavior, more specifically, I'd say like how we respond to difficult moments, you know, be it disappointment, hurt, failure, betrayal. And for me, it's, the intention is to sort of represent that pivotal moment when we've accepted whatever this bad experience is, and we are learning and growing from it. Mm-hmm. And so essentially the fragmented figure is, I guess, a representation of, you know, how we fall apart when something happens to us, but then it's rising up and it's twisting and we're transforming and becoming
putting
another,
yourself back together,
and becoming another, we're growing, becoming another version.
And I thought
of
what was actually quite interesting is that the face of the sheet of metal is basically very polished, high polished sort of silver, and it's got sort of some texture to it, but then on the other side, and I can't see the whole backside, but it seems like the backside has been then painted or you know, with something, and as you've pulled these pieces out and twisted them, you then get to see the backside.
Right.
So it's almost like you've put the nice, you know, the pretty side against to the wall.
Yeah.
And you've left the kind of raw side to the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only see then that pretty side when this figure is being deconstructed and kind of twisted.
Yeah.
And that sets off a lot of things in my head of what I think that means.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you make that choice?
I guess I wanted to sort of focus on the fact that, yeah, like when we're hit with something really, you know, difficult, there's a lot of ugliness and, you know, different emotions that come out, and that's what you kind of, I guess, are faced with initially, but you have to work through it, and then essentially the painted side
is, access the beauty somehow.
Right, it's the, yeah, the silver lining, and there's, you know, so we have to sort of
My husband always says when something bad happens, no matter what it is, he goes, well, you never know what it's good for. Because, like, very often something, you know, you'll have a rear-ender on Eastern Road, but then the person you have the rear-ender with turns out to be someone that actually you wanted to get in touch with or whatever. You know, like, sometimes something bizarre happens like that, or one of the passers-by, or, you know, like, something that can be a bad experience. You'll then, in retrospect, a year later, be like, oh, you know, if I hadn't had that bad experience, this other chain wouldn't have happened, and I wouldn't actually be having this good experience right now. So, yeah, I think that's quite interesting.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like this working with metal, something you sort of came to with the big project you did for the airport.
Yeah.
And it, how, I mean, I have no idea because I know nothing about metal. Is that hard work, or is aluminum very easy to work with? I mean, is that physically demanding for you, or is it you know.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, when I first designed those flamingos, I'd never actually worked with aluminum before. It was a complete, like, new experience in getting in and just jumping in and learning this material, which was such a great experience because now, obviously, I'm kind of taking it and running with it. But, yeah, it's definitely challenging. And working with a piece of that scale, and I was constantly, I was, like, flipping it over to do the painted
side.
So
how heavy is that, more or less?
It's not very heavy, but I think it's just cumbersome because of the width and the height of it.
Because, you know, again, you think of aluminum, I just think of foil. And you're like, that's but it's still a big hunk of metal. So.
Yeah, and it's sharp because I was cutting it. Okay. And then and I cut the piece, so I had the figure cut out, and then I did a bunch of vertical lines, which I had to tape down, and then transport it back to the studio, and then put the pattern and do the painted side, and then flip it over and do the brushed side. And I was constantly, like, going back and forth. So it was a little, and then, you know, trying to kind of think about it, like, okay, I have to really, like, work on both sides of this. And and my original intention was to actually have it floor mounted, and I was going to have the pieces, like, rising up.
Yeah. Because you got to rise up from it. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. But then once we installed, I think just that this, you know, we realized that in the space, it just felt a little small because it's quite a large room. And I had also been experimenting with smaller studies of it in the summer, and I had them wall mounted and, you know, and on the floor. So it just ended up being more powerful, I guess, on the wall.
And does the physical part of it have any meaning to you in terms of the process? Like, I mean, it's obviously easier than painting to a certain degree. Does that physicality of, like, you're making a work about getting through something which has its own strength associated with it, does that act mean something to you in the production of the work, the fact that it's physically demanding?
Yeah, because I guess, right, it's always a process, and and so in a way, like, that's a bit of the therapy, I guess, and going through it and, you know, not being entirely sure how, you know, you have an idea, but how is this actually going to
work out?
Yeah. And then, you know, a lot of, when I actually did pull the fragmented pieces down, like, in the gallery, like, that happened on site. And so it was, you know, an idea that I then had to physically do on site. And in your mind, you have an idea of what it's going to be like, but then the physical part of it, and then actually doing it there and deciding how it's going to look. And I worked on it, then I left, and I would come back and sort of stand back and stare at it, and then end up twisting it more and more. So to me, it's like it's a piece that's like it's ever evolving. And, you know, one day it could come down off the wall, and then it could end up being, you know,
a floor mounted piece.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted it to be that way.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, like, I got you all three here together because we're trying to, like, bring artists that were sort of, again, sort of dealing with not similar issues, but different thoughts. And I think all of your work, it's all kind of quite personal somehow. Like, it's all related to you personally. But it reflects these much bigger concerns in the world. So I just wanted to ask you about that. And also that it sounds really depressing when we're all sitting here talking about it, right? Like, oh, we're talking about the Holocaust, and we're talking about, like, going through all this shitty times, and we're going, excuse my language, and we're like, we're all so disconnected in the Bahamas and la. But you're actually all really positive people. So what is it that you wanted to do with, I mean, I'm throwing this out to then all of you, with your work. Jordana, we'll start with you since you've had a break now.
I thought you were throwing that out to everyone.
I'm throwing it out to everyone, but I'm starting with you because, you know, you've been so quiet for the last 20 minutes.
Oh, shucks. yes, we all are very positive people. And I don't know, I think it was an eye-opener. I don't know, people, artists, everybody comes up with these different ideas of how they can capture the viewer. I came up with my idea, like, sitting on Cabbage Beach trying to sunbathe and looking at the actual sand grains and seeing, like, there's, like, pink and blue specks. And I kind of wanted to take it a little further, and this was a continuation of a piece I did for Transforming Spaces, which was called Paradise, you know, what really lies beneath. And that was an examination of sand, but also the pollution. I did community work, and then I went and did some beach cleanups and collected the sand, and whatever was inside of the sand I displayed. So it was a tall cylinder.
Oh, I remember that piece.
Yeah, it was glass. So on the top, very thin line of pink sand, and that was like the paradise, like what tourists and people, like, you know,
imagine
it's better in the Bahamas.
Underneath. Yeah.
But then as you go further and deeper, you see, like, cigarettes,
cigarette
condoms,
butts,
like just the works mm-hmm. of what you don't want to be at the beach.
I didn't even know you could still go to Cabbage Beach. I didn't even know you could get there.
How yeah, you can.
You can get there
can.
By boat.
I thought it was yes. blocked off to like well, locals.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, it's you. Really? The access is by that resort. Yeah. The Nassau Paradise Beach Resort.
Okay, because that's mm-hmm. also sort of an issue. When I look mm-hmm. at like work to do with sand, I'm always thinking about that too. Yeah. I'm thinking about sort of access, you know, and who can get access. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, ever since that other part got closed, yeah. and now the taxi drivers are bringing the tourists to access there,
yeah.
the beach is now dirty all the time. It's full of trash.
Really? Oh, really?
And it was never yeah. like that before when it was just the vacationers who were staying at the resort and the Bahamians who used to go there on that side.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's those bus mm-hmm. driver
people. Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah. So, and what about you, Sue? Like, I mean, you already sort of spoke a little bit that you kind of like the piece to end up in a museum.
I would. I really yeah. would. I think it's important for people to understand and you know, understand the length of what really happened and that it's possible it could happen again in some mm-hmm. different form.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was interesting to me when I was doing this piece and I had a few people that didn't even know what the yellow star was.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow. Like, I just assumed that everybody would know kind of what that was.
And there wasn't just the yellow star. There was then the pink triangle, and there was all the different, exactly. you know, so, which exactly. is, you know.
Yes. They had different color triangles for different people. If mm-hmm. you were gay, if you were, you know.
If you were a Roma.
Christian, or if you were, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, they had this incredible system of labeling people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting, but... yeah, I think there should be more education here when it comes to the Holocaust and things like that, because I don't really know if it's taught in schools here.
It's yeah. taught in some private schools, I know, because my kids just learned about it, my okay. youngest daughter, and yeah.
Yeah.
That's always hard. But anyhow, but it's again, something that has to be done. And I think also, I mean, I think what you can learn, and I think that's why, again, you know, this idea of, like, personal issues around larger concerns, it's not, yeah. you know, you can always interpret something in a much wider way.
Of
so
course.
Something is very personal. Yep. Sitting on the beach and looking at a handful mm-hmm. of sand can lead Jordana to make a work that's really globally important to
right.
everyone in the Bahamas about
mm-hmm.
what are we doing to our land,
yep.
How are we not connected to each other,
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
yep.
a work that for you is, of course, very personal because you're of Jewish descent. You're, mm-hmm. Can be applied to, you know, much bigger world issues
mm-hmm.
because, and I think... sometimes that's the problem when you is that, you know, if you focus on one issue and you just make it about that one thing, you stop to see how it connects.
Yeah.
Which again sort of always goes back to Jordana's work. It's mm-hmm. like we are all connected, but mm-hmm. sometimes we live in these little
circles,
silos, yeah. circles.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, I'm not Jewish. Why should I worry about that? Well, because it can just happen to the
exactly.
next group,
yeah.
right?
It's not.
It can just happen
yes.
to the next group very easily.
It's not our possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So mm-hmm. For you, was yours just, Dee Dee, like, completely personal? Or because, I mean, again, the country and the world has gone through like kind of a lot of trauma in
oh,
the
yeah.
last year.
Yeah, no.
So was your piece also kind of, you know, was it about more personal or was it something that was looking out to the global world?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely a combination for mm-hmm. sure. So, you know, you can look at it on an individual level
mm-hmm.
or on a global scale,
mm-hmm.
you know, and essentially, you know, we can't just stick our head in the sand. We have to face whatever the hardship is and,
mm-hmm.
you know, try to see that silver lining and try to make something positive
mm-hmm.
come out of it.
Mm-hmm. Because again, I think that's what's quite interesting. Sometimes you give tours or we talk about certain topics and I'm like, oh, this is all sounding really depressing. But I think in the end, so often artists are trying to like really offer solutions,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
right, and
or to get people to think about something they might not want to think about,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
you know, make people feel uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
even you know, you know, you don't have to love the work, but as long as you have some sort of visceral reaction to it,
mm-hmm.
I think it's important.
Well,
yeah,
that's
I
actually
agree.
Quite interesting. I had some kids come out the other day, and very often when I'm just walking around, I like to talk to the visitors to ask them how they enjoyed it, you know, and specifically when children come out. And I asked these two kids, and I said, what was your favorite piece? And there was a sort of silence, and they were like, oh, I don't know. And I said, okay, let me rephrase that. No, I said, let me rephrase that. What's the piece that first comes into your mind
mm-hmm.
when you think about that show? And one of the kids was like, oh, that one of the person sitting on the chair with the, you know, and they immediately went
mm-hmm.
to that is the Ken Heslop piece of the person covered in the
mm-hmm.
white sheet.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that's quite interesting, you know, and I think it taught me something as well about
mm-hmm.
Engaging with visitors. It's like, it's not always what your favorite piece is
yeah.
because maybe, right? Like
yeah.
you said, you don't want to take that piece home. You don't want to live with it.
Mm-mm.
But,
no.
you know, what's the piece that you walk out from
right.
and you can't stop thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it about that work? And I think that's what's interesting about NE8, right, is that there's so many pieces
mm-hmm.
that just make you think, oh, wow, I didn't think about that before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What would you like to see, Jordana, from your piece? I mean, was it, how do you think we could be more connected? Is it about human interaction? Is it about logistical interaction?
All levels.
Yeah.
The people who I've spoken to who've actually helped, they said, I hope this project goes further so that whatever that rift is between the other family islanders, because like you said, I'm not Jewish, I'm not worrying about what happens to the Jews. We think, I'm in Nassau, I'm not worrying about what happens to the people in Cat Island. We have to stay concerned with, we have to get, you know, fix that rift that happens. And the people who helped me with the project, they were saying that they hope the project goes further and that people can be educated and whatever, both logistical and human interaction. We need to be more concerned. You know, we think about ourselves on a smaller scale. Mm. We're all living in these own little bubbles and circles. I'll talk to somebody from Abaco, but that's all I really need to know because mm-hmm. that's my cousin. And, mm-hmm. you know, we brag all the time that, oh, this one's my cousin and that. But when I was looking for these people, yeah. where were they?
Where were the cousins? Yeah. Interesting. And also what I found, too, is it's very often there is some connectivity to Nassau. But then if you want to try to go from, say, Cat Island to Inagua, like, that's impossible. Do you know what I mean? Like, to actually go from one out island to another out island is a big challenge.
Mm.
Like, that you have to route yourself through Nassau, which can be, then again, more costly and all the rest. And, you know, it might end up being like a two-day trip rather than a three-hour trip.
So the project is just, like, the beginning stages. I want to further... I want to have a solo show with the work so you can actually see the samples of sand on a larger scale than it being on a like little 4x5 print. I want it probably 5 feet by 4 feet. I would love for the Ministry of Tourism to get involved. I really think that both Bahamians and tourists need to be educated about what treasures we actually have here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This would be a beautiful like tourism book and like a souvenir. Yeah. Like, instead of the I don't want to say tacky stuff that we have that we're branding as Bahamian, why don't we have something a little more sophisticated and contemporary and artsy? And
yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyone from the Ministry of Tourism listening in, just give us a call and we're happy to put you in contact with one another. So unbelievably, we have come already to the end of the show. It always goes too fast. Everyone's like, oh, I'm never going to be able to talk for that long. And then we get to the end of the hour and we all have more to say. So I just want to thank everybody. Dee Dee Brown, thank you so much for coming in and speaking about your work, Just Another Version of You.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sue Katz Lightbourne, thank you as well.
Thanks,
for making
Amanda.
That very powerful piece as well, remember.
Thank
and
you.
Jordana, who we just heard from.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. And everyone listening, go support Jordana in her solo show, which will be open in just a few weeks at Central Bank. So that is on March 3rd. Which is probably a Friday, but I don't know.
Yes, it's a Friday. And the title of the show is Bugs, Blessings, and Barriers. And it's going to be quite an experience.
Okay. So Central Bank, March 3rd, between 6 to 9. Also, please come to the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, where you can see the 8th National Exhibition, the NE8, as well as the show on the ground floor, which is entitled From Columbus to Junkanoo, which is a group show pulled from the National Collection. And also in the project space, a piece which is part of the National Exhibition, which is entitled AZU 2020, which is a social performative project by young artist Jeffrey Merris. So if you come to the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, you can see all those three shows. You can just totally overwhelm yourself, or you can just come and look at three pieces and go away and come back. As I suggested, it's free always on Sundays for all Bahamians and local residents. It is free every day for children under the age of 12. So it's open to everyone. So please come and do that. And don't forget, our hours are Tuesday to Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, noon to 5 on Sunday, because we do have to sleep in one day a week. So that's it. Exactly, that's it. That's us for tonight. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery. Thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. You have a good night.